Revelation Revealed, Part 2, Section 15, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. Verse 12 reads, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. I won't comment on the lampstands now, but they are the churches, or what I would say, the community of Christ. We've seen that before. Verse 13 reads, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. Now, we are going to see Jesus portrayed here. I will not go into every detail of this description. You can find that on my website. The verse continues. He was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. Verse 14, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. 15, his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. 16, in his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. What we see of Jesus here is who he presently is. Again, as I've said before, he is not the suffering servant. He is, as portrayed here, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a mighty warrior. Now, we have to think about this. John saw Jesus, but the way he saw Jesus, well, looks kind of strange. Like a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Well, how do we explain that? This is my explanation, whether right or wrong. It might well be possible that in the heavenly world, where there are spirit beings, and maybe spirit beings that are visible to spiritual eyes, but not necessarily to physical human eyes, that, for example, if Jesus wants to portray himself to be someone, like a mighty warrior, he will make himself look like that. And if the words of judgment come out of his mouth like a double-edged sword, he makes himself look like a person, instead of having a tongue, having a double-edged sword. Now, this is pure speculation. But you know, throughout the Old Testament, God appeared to human beings in a human likeness. It's called anthropomorphism. God, being spirit, has to show himself to humanity as a man, or as a representative of what he is trying to get across. Jesus is trying to get across to John that he is a mighty warrior and he's going to soon bring judgment to the world. And by showing himself in this way, in this light, John gets the message. I'm not sure how else to understand Jesus being portrayed, instead of having a tongue, having a double-edged sword. That's my explanation. But the main point to be learned in these verses is that Jesus no longer is a suffering servant. He is a mighty warrior, the Lord of Lords. And we should understand him to be that today. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at my feet as though I was dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I tell you, if Jesus appeared to you today in this form, you would fall on your feet as dead, just like John. You know, I've heard some people say in the past, when it comes to meeting Jesus face to face, they're going to get up and dance and hug Jesus and be so, you know, excited that they'll just go crazy. I don't think it's going to be that way. I think you're going to fall on your feet in total humiliation and reverence to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And at that time, as John fell to his feet, and as John fell on his face, and when we fall on our face, Jesus will put his hand on our shoulder and say, "Rise, my friend. I am the first and the last." First and the last here doesn't mean Jesus had a beginning or an end. It just means he is eternal. We should think about it as preeminence. He is the first and the last and everything in between. Verse 18, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." He is alive forevermore. He died, he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and he will eternally exist in the present state that he now is in, which, by the way, is not the same state he was in prior to the incarnation. I've always said that Jesus altered his being for all of eternity just because he loved us. In one sense of the word, Jesus is not what he once was. He is, to a degree, separated from God the Father, a separation that he did not have prior to the incarnation. I could talk more about that, but I won't. Don't want to get sidetracked here. Jesus says, "I hold the keys to death and Hades." Hades is the place of the departed wicked dead right now. Hades once was the place of the departed, the dead, righteous and wicked, but Jesus freed the righteous dead from that side of Hades when he died on the cross. Jesus is Lord over both death and Hades, and we'll talk more about death and Hades later on in Revelation.